Well, welcome everybody to Christian Assembly. My name is Alex. I'm so glad that you've joined us today. We've come to lift up the name of Jesus. The name is above every name. So we call all the nations to worship. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let's sing.
Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown.
Our praise today. You know, every song that we sing, every melody that we play on our instruments today is grounded in the truth of God's word. And we're going to do two songs that come directly from the book of Psalms. Originally, the book of Psalms were all sung by the priests that ministered before the Lord. And so when we read the book of Psalms, really, they're primarily songs. They're sung prayers that the people of God throughout the ages have sung together. And the first song, this comes from the shortest chapter in the Bible. This is Psalm 117. I read a song, and this is what the Bible says. It says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people of the earth, for his unfailing love for us is powerful. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Praise the Lord." That's a reason that we get to celebrate today. So this is Psalm 117. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm.
nations, you people of the earth. Praise the Lord, all ye nations, you people of the earth. Let's try that together. Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. This is why, 'cause he loves us. Celebrate that great truth. And we're going to do one more song from the Psalms. This is from Psalm 121, and I wanted to read it to you. The psalmist says, I look up to the mountains, and does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and as you go, both now and forever. You know, the psalmist, when he says, I lift up my eyes to the hills, he's not saying that God lives in the mountains. In fact, it was the pagan people around Israel who believed that their gods lived at the mountaintop. As the storms of life come, we can look like the people of Israel and wonder, where does my help come from? Does it come from the government? Does it come from the economy? Because that's where all the people around us are looking to their God to save them. But the psalmist reminds us, our God, our help does not come from where the world's help comes from. It comes from the one who created those mountains, the one who created heaven and earth. So we get to rest today in that truth. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It's from you, the maker of heaven and earth. 'Cause I lift my eyes to the hills. And where does my help come from? It's from you, the maker of heaven and earth. So we worship and we sing, hallelujah, you're my helper, hallelujah, you're my strength, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, you're my name. Hallelujah, you're my God. I can now rest in the truth that you are God and that you are good and will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. There's no need to now fear. All that may come to me, because you're sustainer of heaven and earth. That's why we worship you. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
all-creating one, the God Almighty. And through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior, let's sing our faith. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. Celebrate today that He's our judge and our defender. Let's sing it.
Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high.
I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Oh, for I believe in the name.
Well, thank you, Alex and worship team, for leading us in this time of worship. And as we conclude in this time, would you join me with this word of prayer? So, Father, we're so grateful that we can worship you in our homes, worship you wherever we might be, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is with us, and we are grateful for that. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Lord and Savior. And everyone that's wherever they might be, may they be blessed through this time of worship. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome everyone. My name is Marvin. I'm so glad that you are with us today. I'd especially like to welcome any guests or visitors that are joining us for this online service. Hey, Lent's just around the corner, and Lent's a season of reflection and preparation for our time of Easter. And this year, we're going to be focusing our digital discipleship on reasons to believe. So beginning on Wednesday, February 17th, we're going to be learning about topics such as creation, fulfilled prophecy, and the resurrection. So I'm going to invite you to join us for digital discipleship online. I'd like to encourage you to continue to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app, or you can go on our website and click on the Give tab. Our 2020 giving statements have been sent out via email or mail, so be on the lookout in your email box or your regular mail for your statement. Make sure that you check your spam box in your email in the coming weeks, just in case you don't see your statement. And once again, we just want to say thank you for your generosity. As a reminder, this is a communion weekend, so later on in the service, we're going to be taking communion, so you might want to grab your bread and juice now, so you might be prepared to join us for communion. And now we're going to continue in our time of worship by watching this video of a kingdom project that we were all a part of this past year.
Hume Lake does a really good job of focusing on who this place represents, like it's about Jesus.
No one comes to the Father except through Him. He is the way to eternal life.
He took His life for me.
He died in order to die in our place.
And I'm some random kid that not even a quarter of the world knows me.
If you're ready to follow, there's forgiveness and freedom.
Yesterday night, I committed my life to Christ.
I asked Jesus into my heart.
I gave my life to Christ this week.
That in spite of this and what I've done, what's been done to me, that God, I am loved. And that God, you want me.
When you come home, you don't only get to tell your family like you had an amazing week doing all these one-in-a-lifetime experiences, but you also get to say like, I came closer to God.
Hey, welcome everybody. If you are a visitor or guest, I want to welcome you. My name is Tom, one of the pastors on staff here at Christian Assembly. And of course, to my CA family, welcome, welcome, welcome. I have been praying for you all and for our time together. Well, if you don't have a kid or a student, you maybe have never heard of Hume Lake Christian Camps. But if you do, then you probably have, because it is where our kids and students go to camp. In fact, Hume started in 1946 when some hardworking Christians were really kind of praying through what would God have them do with all of the resources that God had entrusted to them. And through kind of conversations and prayer, they ended up believing that God was leading them to try to start a camp. So in 1946, they bought a camp in the Sierra Nevada mountains up near Kings Canyon National Park. And the first summer, they had 670 campers with 22 volunteer leaders. So that's how Hume Lake started. Well, fast forward from 1946 until now, would you believe that God blessed that effort and over 1 million people have been presented with the gospel of Jesus Christ through the years through Hume Lake Christian Camps? Well, 2020 came along and Hume had to shut down all of their in-person camps. And as a result of that, they lost $19 million in revenue. And even after they did all the cost cutting and all the budget saving things they could do, they still needed $6 million in order to stay afloat and make it from the summer of 2020 all the way to the summer of 2021. $6 million is a lot of money to raise when people are losing jobs and hours are being reduced. And they weren't quite certain what they were going to do, but they established a relief fund and they hoped for the best. Now, I want to put a pin in that story, and we're going to come back to it throughout this message. We're going to consider what we can do, what we can do to make the very most of all of what God has entrusted to us. We're going to consider that, but before we do, let's pray. So God, even now, we ask that you would speak to us from your word, that you would teach us how to make the very most of what you've entrusted to each one of us. And Lord, even in the areas that we're already doing that, I pray that people would hear your yes and amen and applause of heaven for how we've already done that. So speak to us now, we pray, from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been in a series entitled, What I Can Do. And you might be wondering, why are we doing this series? Well, because as we prayed, the Lord spoke to us, telling us to focus us as a church on what God says we can do, regardless of our circumstances. And one of the things that we can do, no matter what's going on in the world around us, is we can make the most of what God has entrusted to us. And when we do that, we have the sheer delight and joy of watching God use our generosity for the good of others, the good of ourselves, and the glory of God. Now, this theme of making the most of what you have is all through the Bible, but this weekend, we're specifically going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. The Apostle Paul wrote 2 Corinthians to the church in the city of Corinth. And Corinth, if you're wondering, was a city in the area of modern-day Greece. Now, in the center part of the letter, Paul's giving them instructions on how to make the most of what God has entrusted to them. For them, the specific issue was that there was a regional famine going on in Jerusalem, and so now Paul is calling the church in Corinth to be generous in giving to help meet the needs of those who had been affected by this famine. And so what I want to do is I'm going to pull out five key principles from God's word in this passage of how to make the most of what God has entrusted to you. The first one is this. If you want to make the most of what God has given to you, give yourself to the Lord first. Paul wants to inspire the church in Corinth to be generous, so he begins by telling them what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia, which was the area north of Corinth. He writes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2 and on. We read, "They are being tested by their troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. They even did more than we had hoped for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do." I love that phrase. Their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us. God has not only given you all the money you have in your wallet, he has given you and me the breath that we have in our lungs. He has given us the totality of everything that we have. And since God has given you everything you have, you can't and I can't outgive God. And so when you give all of yourself to God first, then it's much easier to give a portion of your money back to God. And notice here, Paul says that they gave themselves to the Lord, but then he also says, and to us. Meaning that these believers were not just giving themselves to the Lord, but they were also giving themselves to one another as a church family. Before giving money, great stewards give themselves to the Lord first. So let me bring us back to the Hume story. Hume needs $6 million in relief funds to continue as a ministry. Well, one woman, true story, found out about Hume's need, and she knew about the ministry of Hume. And she was an older woman. She didn't have much money, but she wanted to do something. And so she went to the Lord in prayer and prayed and said, "God, look, I don't have a lot of money, but what can I do?" And in that time of prayer, the Lord impressed upon her heart that she could actually take these jams and jellies that she enjoyed to make just for family and friends, and she could sell them. And so that's what she did. She set up a table in front of her house, and she decided to make some jams and preserves and jellies and sell them, with all of the proceeds going towards the relief fund for Hume. She was hoping that maybe she could generate $100 even to give to Hume. Well, she set it up and began to sell the preserves and the jams in front of her house, and God saw her desire and blessed her efforts, and she didn't just sell $100. She ended up selling $1,000 worth of jelly and jams and preserves and gave all of that to the relief fund to help keep Hume moving ahead as a ministry. It's amazing what God does when we give ourselves first to Him in prayer. You know, making the most of what we have begins with a spirit of willingness and prayer. The second thing we would see from this passage is this, is that we need to be a Titus, consistently encouraging one another in generosity. Paul continues the letter in the church to the church in Corinth this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6 and on. It says, "So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving." So we see here that, like most things in following Jesus, we need to consistently encourage one another, not just one time. Through a couple decades now of pastoring people, I have seen that when I meet a Christian who is not giving generously, it's usually because they're afraid or they lack a plan to get started. They need courage. Something we can all do for one another is that we can be a Titus to one another, encouraging one another consistently in generosity to the work of God in our world. Paul goes on to write in the same chapter, verse 9, "You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich." Christ is a generous giver, giving even himself for us and for our salvation. So then, all of our giving is in response to what Jesus has already done and given to us. So in that sense, we don't just give to a need, we also have a need to give. Why is that? Well, it's because God created us in his generosity, and Jesus saves us by his generosity, and the Holy Spirit's poured out upon us in generosity for those of us who have received Christ. So to be the person that God has created me to be, I need to be generous as much as others need my generosity. Otherwise, my heart, my spirit, my vision will shrink down in greed and in fear. Well, CA, I am so grateful that you are a generous church. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And also, as Titus did, let me encourage all of us to keep growing in our generosity to God's purposes in the world. The third thing that we need to do to make the most of what God's entrusted to us is that we need to create an eager and proportional plan. The letter to the church in Corinth continues in verse 11. It says, "Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving, given proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly and give in accordance to what you have, not what you don't have." Of course, I don't mean that your giving should make life easy for others and then thereby hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equality. To be generous, you need not only courage, you also need a plan. In fact, Allison and I have a written giving plan that is part of our written household budget that we review each month to ensure that we are staying on track with our prayerful goals that we've committed ourselves to. And I want to encourage you to have a written plan. Now, ours is just on an Excel spreadsheet on one of our laptops, and that's how we review it. A good general rule of thumb, if you're just getting started in this, is what we call the 10-10-80 plan. Give 10% of your income back to God. That's called a tithe. The word tithe just means one-tenth. Put 10% away for savings or maybe paying down debt that you might have. And then you live on the remaining 80%. In the Bible, a tithe is what we owe to God, and an offering is whatever we give beyond that initial 10%. So a tithe is the foundation of biblical generosity, but our trust and our faith can grow from there. Now, for some of you, this has been a hard season financially, which is why we as a church, we established that $250,000 grocery benevolence fund, as well as the pantry and prayer ministry on top of that benevolence fund. But for others of you, your business has been booming and your investments have grown. How do I know that? Well, you've told me that. And if that's you, let me be a Titus to you and encourage you to review your generosity and giving plan. Speaking of our responsibility before God, Jesus once said it this way in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with even much more will be required. As a side note, for those of us with appreciated stocks, I know the stock market is up, donating those appreciated stocks can be one of the best giving and generosity strategies because it creates a true win-win where you can claim the full pre-tax value as a charitable donation, and the church receives the full pre-tax value, which actually maximizes and makes the most of your contribution to our mission together. Conversely, if you sold those stocks, you'd then have to pay the tax on it, which means that even if you gave all of the remainder as an offering, you would get to claim less on your taxes, and less money would actually make it towards our shared mission together. Now, I can't go much more into that, so if you have questions on that, you can call the church office and speak to George Fernandez, who's our stewardship pastor, who can explain why it's a great way, a win-win way, to make the most of your giving. Now, you might be wondering how we did as a church family in our 2020 giving. And I want to use this as a chance to report back to all of us as a congregation on that front. If you've been with us throughout this year, you know that prior to knowing that a pandemic was ever going to happen, our elders and council set a general giving target of $8.1 million. So where did things land? Well, actually, our general giving ended up being $8,250,353.76. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, and praise God because we actually exceeded our general giving target for 2020. It's amazing when you consider all that 2020 has held. In addition to that, our kingdom giving throughout 2020 was $545,982.09. And I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for that as well. All of that money is used to support our kingdom efforts outside the walls of our own congregation. So our total giving for 2020 was $8,796,335.85. And so I just want to say, way to go. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Your giving empowers all that we do on our mission to lead spiritually convinced and unconvinced people to complete commitment to Christ, both right here in LA as well as the nations around the world. Now, you might be curious. That giving total actually represents a decline of -3.7% compared to 2019. But considering all the economic turmoil of 2020, that is pretty amazing. If we pan the camera back a little bit, that 2020 giving total also represents an actual increase of +8.1% from our 2018 giving. And so I want to thank you for your ongoing faithful giving back to God. Well, we are setting now for 2021, our general giving target is going to be $7.8 million. Now, that's a little less than our general giving for 2020. And you might be wondering, why would you set it at a little bit less? Because we think that any good financial plan includes some margin for unseen events and circumstances. So if you call CA Home and you're a believer, God's word calls us to each set a plan to give both eagerly and proportionally in 2021. But the planning doesn't stop there. Paul goes on to tell the church in Corinth, this in chapter 8, verse 20. He says, we are traveling together, meaning to deliver this offering, to guard against any criticism for the way that we are handling this generous gift. We are careful to be honorable before the Lord, but we also want everyone to see that we are honorable. Now, here at CA, we have a plan to ensure that all giving is handled honorably. Here are just a few of the items to let you know. That phrase that Paul wrote, we are traveling together. Well, in a modern day terms, we do that here at CA because we always have at least two people with any offerings. All of our outgoing checks for expenses require two authorized signatures. We set an annual budget that runs from January to December each year. So each fall, the staff leaders put together a budget request from their department to match their vision of the department and our mission. Mark and I then review each line item together, line by line, making our suggested prayerful edits and adjustments. From there, it goes to the CA Council. These are all volunteer lay people for their oversight and review and final approval. And all the money is accounted for to the penny. We provide monthly updates on giving on the back of the bulletin, which you can access digitally on our website to help us all stay informed as we go throughout the year. The fourth thing we see about making the most of what God has entrusted to you is that God uses your giving to inspire others to give. Paul continues his letter to the church in Corinth this way in chapter 9, verse 1. He says, I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem, for I know how eager you are to help. And I've been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. And here's the line. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the believers in Macedonia to begin giving. I love that line. I want to bring us back to the Hume story because it's a powerful testimony of how God used your giving, Christian Assembly, to stir up other believers to give. So Hume needed $6 million in relief. And we were aware of this. In fact, they had done everything they could do, and that relief fund had gotten to about $3.5 million. And so we were made aware, and because our students and kids go to Hume, I took that need to our church council. And I just said, well, here's the need. They're at $3.5 million. They need to get to $6 million. Does the Lord want us to do anything? Well, as we prayed and we discerned and we considered your faithful ongoing giving, that your giving had been so consistent even throughout this challenging year, our elders made the unanimous decision to make a prayerful pledge of $250,000 to give to the Hume Relief Fund. Now, we structured this pledge to be a matching pledge. So what that meant is we said to the Hume leaders, we are prepared to give you this money, but you've got to go get another congregation or foundation or individual to give $250,000, and then we'll match them dollar for dollar up to that $250,000. Well, they took that news of that pledge that we established, and they talked to a number of different people. One family ended up getting inspired by your giving, Christian Assembly. In fact, they said, are you telling me that a congregation just made a pledge for $250,000? They don't go to Christian Assembly. They've never heard of Christian Assembly. They got so inspired by what you did that they didn't match our pledge dollar for dollar. They matched it $4 for every one. They wrote a check for $1 million. Not only that, but they wrote the check for $1 million and they gave it to Hume and they said, we love their idea. So take the $1 million we're giving, add it to their $250,000, and now make the matching pledge $1.25 million. So that got them from $3.5 million to $4.75 million. From there, the leaders of Hume shot a video just sharing that two anonymous donors had decided to match every donation up to $1.25 million that would come in, and that would get them to the $6 million. So they shoot the video, they put it out on social media, and they get a phone call. from a guy who was aware of Hume's ministries, but had never actually given to Hume. And he said, are you telling me that there's actually a matching grant or a fund available? And they said there was. And he ended up being inspired by God to write a check for $1.5 million. In other words, and I want you to hear this, CA, because of your individual prayerful giving, our elders were able to pledge $250,000. Within 2 months of that pledge, God took that $250,000 and multiplied it by 10 and brought in an additional $2.5 million. So where did things land for Hume? Well, Hume needed to get to $6 million, but through those gifts, as well as all the other ones from campers and families and a woman who made jelly, they actually exceeded it and got to $7.75 million. Now, why would we make such an investment? This is really an investment in the next generation of people and students in California. In fact, Hume's ministry shares the gospel with 17,000 students each year and 25,000 people across all their different ministry endeavors. And so we wanted to be part of that, and we could be part of it because of your generosity. Thank you for being the kind of people who God can use to stir up many other believers to give, just like he used the church in Corinth to do that. And you know, it's not just this one story with Hume. In fact, over the last 4 years, we've seen this happen with the living room, with our church plants in LA, with the medical debt that was canceled in LA, as well as across the country in 2020, but now in Hume as well. And none of it would be happening without your faith and your ongoing generosity. So thank you and well done, CA. The fifth and final thing we learn from this section of 2 Corinthians is this. Generosity is like farming. You will reap what you sow. Here's what God's word says in chapter 9, verse 6. Remember this, Paul writes, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, because God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all that you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor, and their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed to the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Well, I want to boil it down to a few action steps for us. The first action step for us this weekend is just thank God for his provision for us as a church family. And thank God through us and how God is providing through us to others in need. All told, in 2020, we have given away just over $1 million beyond the walls of our church to advance the gospel, as well as helping those in need, in Jesus' name, both right here in LA, throughout California, and around the world. So our first action step is to just humbly thank God for using us to do what we could do, to be part of meeting the need, to keep the gospel shining bright through Hume Ministries, as well as all the other ways that you've been generous. The second action step would be this. Create a prayerful, written, eager, and proportional giving plan to make the most of what God has entrusted to you in 2021. Maybe you need some help to get your financial house in order. Well, actually, we're going to be offering a workshop that's entitled Getting Your Financial House in Order, and it's about budgeting and spending controls and then the tools to make it successful. That's going to happen. It's going to be in a Zoom format. It's going to happen on March 11th and March 18th at 7 p.m. It'll be 45 minutes on Zoom with an optional 15 to 30 minute Q&A at the end of the time. It will include handouts that will be emailed to participants. Now, if you're interested in that, you need to register. And you can register by going to cachurch.com/stewardship. And that has all the information there. Others of you, maybe you need help with groceries. And I want to encourage you, as we have before, to find out all the details you need about the pantry and prayer, as well as the Grocery Benevolence Fund, so that you can get the food that you need for your family. If you have an income, make certain you plan an eager and proportional giving plan. Don't know where to start? Use that 10-10-80 rule of thumb as a guide. You can give online, you can give through the website, you can give through the phone app. You can also mail in your tithes and offerings to the church office by mailing it to our office location. And I've mentioned, if you happen to be one of the many people with appreciated stocks, you can donate those appreciated stocks as well as part of your plan. The third thing I would say is this: let's all be a Titus to someone. Who can you encourage to grow in generosity to the purposes of God? Maybe it's someone in your life group. Maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe it's your roommate. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your friends. Generosity is such a joy, and God gives all we need to trust Him. Your generosity could be the key to inspiring someone else to be generous too. The fourth and final call to action would be to give your life to Christ. If you've never done that, you can do that now. In fact, before we come to this communion table, you can say, God, I want to give myself to you first. So forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And teach me how to know you and follow you as I learn from your word, the Bible, both what your will is, and by your Spirit and community, have the courage to do it. Because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, forgive me and make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, I want to welcome you into the family of God. And you can let us know. You can email in, and the information is all there. You can text in. The information is all there to let us know, because we want to celebrate with you and help follow up on some additional steps to help you in your new faith with Jesus. Well, it is a communion weekend, and this week we're coming to the communion table. And this table is open to you if you're a follower of Jesus, whether you just made the decision to follow Jesus or whether you made that decision a long time ago. In fact, the scriptures tell us that on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord gathered his disciples and he took a loaf of bread and he broke it. And he said, as often as you eat this bread, do so in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took a cup of wine and he said, this cup is the cup of the covenant, the new covenant, based upon the shedding of my blood. As often as you drink this, do so in remembrance of me. And so before we come to the table, let's pray and prepare our hearts. So God, even now, we remember what you've done in dying so that we could be saved. We thank you for your work on the cross and the shedding of your blood. Meet with us now as we take this bit of bread and this bit of juice. Commune with us as we remember all that you gave us in our salvation. You can go ahead, if you're a follower of Christ, and take your bread and eat it. Likewise, take the cup and drink it. So, Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for the gift of our salvation. And we ask, God, that you would now teach us to live in the joy of generosity for all that you've done for us and all that you will do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
take my feet?
Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Always only for my King.
So we respond in worship. Take my life. Take my life. Sing it again as our prayer. Take my life. Take my life.
So we want to thank you once again for being with us for our online services. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during this service, or simply would like to know more about what it means to follow Christ, let us know so we can have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us at the address that's on your screen now, or you can text the word decision to the number 52855. And now let me close us with this blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Have a great week, everyone.